prepare to laugh out loud. July 20th, in the parking lot across from the Muskie Shop, the comic stylings of Tommy Knutson.
Hey, so I get pulled over by the cops on Highway 51, and the cop says, "Hey, Tommy, why are you speeding?" So I roll down the window and say, "It's Fish Fry Friday, no duh."
You've heard Charlie Behrens. Now check out Tommy Knutson telling jokes that only Midwesterners would think were funny.
Just the other day, me and my wife Thelma, we walk into a tavern. She says, "I'd like the ribs, I'd like a cheeseburger, I'd like a fry." She can really pack away the food, folks. You know, a lot of you might not know, I became a professional fisherman recently, but I discovered I couldn't live on just net income.
Jokes so good, you'll go, ha ha.
Why did the fisherman put his money in the freezer? Huh? Huh? You know, he wanted cold, hard cash. So I'm out on the lake the other day, fishing for walleyes, you know, trying to get my limit, right? And this guy over there, he's not catching nothing. I'm not catching nothing. I ask him, I go, "Hey, how's fishing?" He says, "Not too good." And I said, "Well, a bad day fishing's better than a good day at work."
Live, July 20th in the parking lot across from the Muskie Shop Bash, Tommy Knutson.
What's an owl's favorite TV show? Huh? Huh? Don't you know? Dr. Pooh. Dr. Pooh. When I meet my now ex-wife, Tamara, I thought she was really into walking, you know, because she's from Milwaukee. So a pastor, a rabbi, and a Greek walk into a bar, and no one bats an eye because it's tourist season, don't you know? Ho-ho-ho! Anybody else hate sleepovers at their uncle's house?
What's the deal with tourists? Don't they have things to look at when they're from?
Before I found the Lord, I murdered a prostitute in Medford.
July 20th in the parking lot across from the Muskie Shop Bash. The comic stylings of Tommy Knutson.
Hey, everybody, I'm Tommy Knutson. And I hope you're ready to laugh. And I hope you're ready to laugh. And I hope you're ready to laugh. And I hope you're ready to laugh.
All right, folks, welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast of Tommy Knutson live, Jay.
Live. Oh, Steve, have you checked out his Netflix special?
I couldn't. My frontier.net was a little down that day.
Oh, the dial-up didn't work?
The dial high speed from Rhinelander all the way to the
Netflix was buffering.
Netflix. Northwood's net. Northflix.
Oh, Tommy Knutson, man. It's good to hear him deliver the jokes. Isn't, again, you know, it's been a long time.
After the whole Medford thing, they were going to have him at the bash, but after his little thing he did there in Medford, yeah, he's not allowed. He's not allowed at the bash.
Shocking.
So, usually...
That's why I don't see him at the bash.
He can't be at the bash after that whole Medford incident.
Well, I get it now.
That's why he can't be at the bash.
I didn't before. I didn't know why he was banned from the bash, but I get it now.
It'll get you every time. Guys, it is crazy town.
Yeah.
It is Jay slammed, I'm slammed. It is slam-a-dam-a-dam-dang.
That's one way to put it.
I'm running. Yeah. Well, it's new. On top of everything else, Jay, got iCast.
Yeah, you got iCast just before the bash, too.
Which is lovely, insanity. Huh? So, yeah. And then we've got the bash, which is that's where everybody needs to be at. Every year we do some kind of meta weird thing. So if you make yourself like a Tommy Knutson shirt, whoever, make yourself a Tommy Knutson t-shirt, and we will give you something awesome, okay? So it's called Stealing from Jim's Garage. Don't tell him, but he's got some musky treasures in there. We'll get you something awesome. So we want to see your best Tommy Knutson shirt.
Oh, good one.
What else are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, we got the power punch, too.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if we've ever even said that. We've never even talked about the power punch. Yeah.
The guys.
It's Slime Life Power Punch.
Slime Life Power Punch.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's aware, I hope. You know, this is our, fourth year of having our own energy drink, which is really neat, you know?
The cold, but the hot. So, yeah, usually that's how crazy it's been, which is good. I'd rather be busy than bored. Yes. So this year's bash beverage is Slime Life Power Punch. So we will be swigging that heavily. get yourself the collector's can there. Maybe you'll get it if you make yourself a Tommy Knutson live shirt. I don't know. Do you even know what that would entail, Jay? I have no clue. But just dream and dream big. So,
well, no one knows what he looks like. That's the problem right there. He's just like an icon, you know.
I'll tell you, I got to admit, we love doing the intros, and it usually comes from, and sorry, it got the air on, some motorcycle went by. You know, I'll be on the boat or coming, driving home, and I'll just have this stupid harebrained thing. And I think we laugh more trying to come up with bad jokes. Do you know how hard it is to come up with a bad joke? It's not the easiest thing. It was funny.
Right. You want it to not resonate, right, is what you want. But that's not easy.
Not easy. But nonetheless, you know, I don't even know where I was going with that, Jay. I'm running solely on, I'm doing a Tennessee speedball, right? Which is how much coffee and Diet Coke can you drink to stay off?
Okay.
You know, just pounding the night away, as they say in Medford. But anyway, so we'll have the Power Punch of the Bash. Somebody make a Tommy Knutson shirt. It'll make our day. Jay, you've kind of got the rundown of what's happening at the Bash this year as far as vendors. Give us a little overview of what people can expect or what's happening there.
Oh, boy. Put me on the spot. We got another one today. God, did I take a screenshot of that list? Yeah, I did. Okay. There's over 30, including the famous Smitty's. There'll be a Livingston booth, a St. Croix booth, a Supernatural Big Baits. Duff is going to be there, folks.
Ow!
Tommy. Bill from Slammer Tackle. Shimano's there in the flesh. B&N, all the way from Ohio.
Good guys, yep.
Muskie Mayhem booth, Hooked on Muskie, Violent Strike Lures, MEPS with some exciting Bash-only surprises.
Well, hey, let me cut you off real quick.
Yeah, go.
Oh, is that a surprise what they're doing?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
They made a Bash-only color
Say. Yeah, okay, never mind. I heard the secret, and I didn't know. So I was, okay, continue.
Figure eight tackle, you know very well. Daiwa, Lakewood, Stowmaster, Wolverine tackle, Pure Fishing, including Savage Gear, Z-Leaders, Muskies, Inc.
There'll be a guy that also fought a Wolverine there.
Yeah. CC Lures, Ivan Bates, MM26, Chad will be there.
Very nice.
Spanky Bates, Musky Innovations, CS Lures, Stealth Tackle, and some other groups there's a group that works with veterans, nice. Fishing and Veterans, and a couple others in that vein, manufacturers.
I think cool. Yeah, we got a couple. There's some civic organizations that come out, some religious organizations that come out, which I think it's a cool vibe. You know, it's not pushy. They'll talk to you. And I've tried to explain to people before they ask about the Bash. Is it electrifying? Yes. Is it like a rock concert? Yes. Okay, I'm lying, and it's not. It's very laid back, and what's cool, and what I encourage people to do at the Bash, and so the secret sauce is here, the Muskie Shop is working with these vendors so they're not in a position where they have to sell you something. Yes, they want to sell you something, but it's not that same vibe, right? So these vendors have time to take the time and talk to you at length, and that's kind of the cool vibe. Where, you know, without delving into it, you get what I'm saying here, Jay. We make it where the vendors, you know, they're not trying to hit some mark where it's a trade show and they got to pay for this and pay for that. It's already taken care of, so they can spend time with you, sit there and chat muskies all day, and it's a much different experience.
We already bought the stuff from them, so right.
I wasn't gonna come out and say it, but you said if we're gonna say it, they show up, they bring all the stuff, and it's boom, they're paid, they're made in the shade, baby, they're chill. There's not like, hey, we better sell two more things here so we can afford our room at the Super 8. So that's what the Bash is, and it really allows these vendors to hang out with people, and that is the whole point of this thing. You know, now you got to be on edge with the Smitties, whether they've sold their stuff or not. Be on edge, right? Which we need some. I'll have to harass them when I'm up.
That and just word of advice: watch your back.
But anyway, that's the vibe, and that's why we did it. where these vendors can chill out. And I encourage everybody, if you're coming out there, just, you know, chew their ear off as much as you want. That's what they're there for, and everybody's taking care of and having a good time. Jay, it has been crazy. I can't even tell you. Yeah, I know you guys have been restocking. Tell everybody about that, what's happening there.
We had a few days last week that were so overwhelming with the amount of stuff that's come in. It's crazy. Yeah, not a ton of new stuff. Although today I did make a listing for
I'm just now saying it, Steve.
Very nice. Abu Garcia, beast. The beast is coming back. And it looks like it's as early as September. Elmer's going to be happy. There are people that have been asking us for the last year and a half, what's going on with Abu Garcia and the beast? Well, they just got it done. So,
we love the beast.
And apparently the we're going to have a working model that in the booth. So that'll be the first, I think, public appearance for a Beast 400 low profile reel.
So
looks good. Yeah, I mean, looks good. It's a big improvement over, well, I guess it's been about 2 years since the previous B60s were out. So they did a lot of improvements, and you can read the listing. It's boring spec stuff about gearing and drag weight and all that stuff, but it's important to a lot of people, you know.
But
so.
Do it fish? That's all people want to know. They don't want to read specs. They go, do it fish?
Yes, Steve. Yeah.
The cool thing is,
do you see the two gear ratio options on it?
What do we got here? What do we got?
4.8 and 6.2.
Dangy. I like
right and left hand. Yeah. So it's a 27-inch per turn and a 34-inch per turn, which I think is perfect.
Danny of the Herbex got some. And
really? Okay.
Yeah. And so I don't want to say what they're doing, but Danny works with Savage Gear, as we all know. And the same people own Abu. And so he is actually field testing those, and he just told me flat out, he was just like, dude, they're baller.
Great.
So they are
good
legit
here.
Legit reels. I talked one of the dudes over at Abu myself, and so they're working on a big reveal on this stuff, but it's cool to see, you know, kind of what's going to happen with that. It's supposed to be, of course, everything that comes out is revolutionary, game changer, right? But talking to Danny, he went, dude, it's legit, you know,
okay.
It'll be interesting. It's got a honking gearbox on it, though. If you notice that's the one thing. It's going to be interesting to see. Apparently, this thing is just all about power and reliability. So they've kind of trimmed things down and went some serious gearing in this. What is there anything that they change? I am looking at the specs here. 31 pounds of drag. Infinite break. Double bow. Is there a power handle? Not seeing that yet. Wonder. We'll have to. It does have a clicker. So they're kind of going all the way around here. I'm just reading the specs real quick. They're trying to cover everything here. Interesting. Now, the one thing that I know, Jay, from the dude I know over at Abu, said the drag, regardless of what you do to it, it slips, which is interesting. So I will leave more than that. But when they were explaining it to me, like their head of marketing was going through it with me, and it totally makes sense, which I will leave it to the fine folks there, but kind of keep your eyes on that, because I think the most unique feature about this reel will be the drag system. And that sounds silly, because the way we conceptualize drag is a whole lot of nothing, but what they're saying is pretty freaking cool. So okay. We will get from that. Other than that, Restock City, I know everybody's geared up like crazy. One thing I did want to say I thought was pretty freaking cool, Jay. It's had a dude go out, he didn't even buy one. He asked his dad, he said, hey, do you have those spoon plugs, right? Or brought it up in a conversation, we were talking about it, and caught a 4-footer on a spoon plug this week. So,
okay.
Is that crazy? Like, his dad had trolled him back in the day, and the guy kind of dug him out and went trolling with it, which I thought was kind of cool.
Well, neighbor Steve had some buddies up last week, and they got one trolling, got like a 39 or a 40 on a spoon plug, too.
Oh, were they running
spoon plugs? Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Neighbor Steve's all like, You're gonna have any left by the bash, Jay? Are you gonna have any left by the Steve? I don't know, man. It's going kind of quick. I don't know.
He's gone spoon plug crazy. Here's the fun.
Yes, he is. Now he wants to invest in the company.
Now, see, guys. Now, let's back this up. Let's. We all do this. Man catches fish. Man buys a man buys a bunch of the same bait. Right now, that's fun. That's what we all like to do. However, if you buy a bunch of the same bait, you better have the same condition to recreate the same scenario. Think about it. Deep thoughts here. So, it's not a magic bait. Think, because we've all done it. Jay, we see the orders going out the shop. Larry Krexbaugh bought 14 hot pink toads. Wonder what he just caught a fish on. You know? Sure. So, no, I'm not saying don't buy a bunch of something if you're confident in it, but think about the scenario more so than the bait. What happened? You closed the proximity gap. We had the right size, the right action at the right place it needed to be. Here's Danny. We cannot go a week without Herbeck. Hold on. Danny, you're on the podcast. I'm trying to record this thing. What are you doing?
Just getting ready to head back out on the lake.
Not another Herbeck.
I literally last week.
Oh, another Herbeck.
I got
Danny.
We got Herbeck. That's like having mice, Jay. We got a bad case of Herbecks.
Danny's like, why did I call him? Why? Well,
frickin',
why did I do
last week, your dad. Literally, we're doing the show. People probably think it's stage and it's the furthest thing from the truth. It's as if I summoned you. I didn't want to go too deep on this new Abu reel. I don't know how much you can talk about it, but Muskie Shop has the listing up on that. What's kind of going on with this reel? What can you tell us about it that you're allowed to tell?
Because
I said you've checked it out and gave it the thumbs up here. So
that's why I actually called you, is I wanted to make sure that you and Jay had your I's dotted and T's crossed that you were going to make sure that you got some of these. What I can tell you is I'm fishing them right now, and they are the bee's knees. They're not like any Revo I've ever had in my hands before. They are a small compact frame with, you know, a big gearbox. They fit in your hand well. They got lots of power. The handles are super nice, super comfortable. They got a 4.8 gear ratio for like big blades, and then a 6.2 for like your rubber. And they'll be available come September.
Okay, well, we covered a little bit of that just from that. What's the on the water like? Because you're the only human being I know that's got their hands on these things.
Yeah,
like what is it? Does it feel like a Tranx? Does it feel like a Lexa? What's kind of the comparison there, if you will?
I would say in my hand, it feels like very comparable to like a 400 Tranx.
Side profile.
Maybe a little bit.
Nice.
Yeah, maybe a little smaller in the hand. But then on the other side, like on your winding hand, you know, you got a double paddle handle, which they're not like the little tiny knobs where you need to buy the accessorized power handle. They're big, nice, big, comfortable
knobs.
Your double. Yeah. But then they also sell a power handle too. But I mean, I really, from fishing them, I don't see any need to go to a power handle.
Hey, Danny, a British guy once told me and Jay we were both huge knobs. What does that mean?
I'd say he's bang on.
He's bang on. What's going on with that material on the, just from looking at the photos here, is that like an EVA foam or is that a rubberized handle? Because that's kind of caught my eye here.
Yeah, it's they're hard, but they're not like the foam. I don't know the names of the materials or anything.
Right.
They're hard, but it's like, it's not rubberized, but it's not like the foam.
Nice, because the foam wears. Yeah.
It's not gonna fall. It's not gonna fall off, and it's not gonna be slippery.
But
yep. Okay,
Jay, he's answered the ultimate question: do it fish?
Well, sounds like it does. A day and a half of fishing, I crossed 7 muskie's eyes with them in my hand. So nice. I feel pretty confident.
And the drag system's supposed to be amazing.
Yeah, that's
the case.
Can you go into that?
There's no having to check your drag, you know, like cranks, a lot of them. You always got to check your drag because they're backing down. If you want to crank it down right max, like, you're not going to be able to budge the drag. I don't know how many pounds of drag are on that.
31.
Pretty amazing. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and like, I don't know. I've kind of gone over the days of past thumbing fish. I feel like the drags are reliable enough on the, mm-hmm. on the reels I use. I keep my drags pretty locked down.
Yeah.
And then once I hook the fish and get them close to the boat, I just spin the knob back, you know, a half a crank or 2/3 of a crank, and then fight the fish is kind of how. And the drag, like, these fish were peeling out drag, and there was no, like, drag. It was just super smooth. Like, it was, I'm very, very
That's what you want. That's very, awesome. Very And it's supposed
very
to be
impressed with the reel.
It's supposed to be a light reel. They did not provide weight, surprisingly, on the spec sheet I got. It didn't have anything about weight. Is it a super light feeling reel too?
Yes. I mean, let's just say they've done their homework on this. Oh. It's I'm not blowing smoke because I'm fishing with them right now. If I didn't like the product, I wouldn't talk about it.
Right. Absolutely.
So I'm not gonna mislead people into thinking it's the greatest thing when it's not. If I'm gonna tell you it's good, it's gonna be good. So
it's like that. He gave the reel the Herbeck handshake. It's the real deal here, Jay. Real deal. Well, yeah. since you caught and interrupted my podcast, what's going on the water? What are you seeing?
With the full moon approaching, there's a lot of. A lot of nice fish starting to show up. It's a bit grindy. In between, you know, majors and minors, there's, you know, you're seeing activity, but not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say the last 5 days, you better be really closely watching that Muskie 360 app and watching that major and minor in the moon there. I mean,
yeah.
I told, like, you guys I'm fishing with today, it is to the goddamn minute right now. It is to the minute. You have, if I pull up on a spot, and that major last night, it was at 9:36 p.m. Or no, 9:16, I'm sorry, 9:16. We pulled up to a spot, 9:15, the rod doubles over, got one. We fished 5 spots before that and hadn't seen a fish.
Now, the thing is this, Danny, because it's literally, we were just BSing, 2 days ago? And he, like, legit, you were telling me, like, you're watching the app like a hawk because it's bang on, which is...
You have, like, right now, it doesn't seem to matter where you're at on the lake, what kind of structure you're fishing, whether it be weeds, whether it be rocks, better be fishing at that major because
mm-hmm.
you're going to get bit. And then you have about 30 to 40 minutes. So you got about 2 to 3 spots.
Don't be running the boat.
Don't be running. Get in an area where you can go boom, 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 boom. Real quick spots where you're not wasting any time running. Go ahead.
Are you power fishing? Like, when that major's coming up, are you just like casting and blasting? Okay.
Yes. I got the trolling motor on 6, and I'm not letting off it unless a fish is behind the bait.
Gotcha. I love it when it's like that. It's a cool scenario for sure. Rare, but what do you think's causing it?
A couple things. One, we've had just really stale, stagnant weather, mm-hmm. and we still got the mayfly hatch going on still, and we got a major explosion of, like, I don't know what kind of bait it is in the water. It's not real big bait, but mm-hmm. it's like a perch fry or a Cisco fry or something, and you can just see big, massive balls of bait up, you know, real high in the water column. So everything is just fat and lazy, and these muskies got it real easy right now. And they're not going to bite unless Mother Nature is going to make them bite.
Nice. Very good. Well, Danny, your timing was impeccable. That's freaking freaky. So I will, I'll give you a holler once I get off here. Does that sound good?
Sound good, man.
You got it. Be good, buddy. Hang up for me so I can keep doing her.
Later,
Tater.
See you, Danny.
Well, that was well timed, Jay. I'll tell you.
Yeah, it's perfect.
No, that's cool.
His dad, Big Daddy Herbeck, came in last, I think, Friday. Uh-huh. And, you know, he said the same thing.
Yeah,
he found the same thing fishing last week in northern Wisconsin before he went up to Canada. So
it's been dialed.
Yeah.
I mean, why? Who knows? But I mean, flat out, like I said, he's not pitching woo about. I mean, he told me we're just BS, and he's like, I'm living and dying by the app, and it just timing, and having the right timing, and having clutch moon phase data. So it is nutty, Jay, and things are warming up. Actually, let me look here. Something that kind of blew my mind, Jay.
Yeah.
Are you sitting down?
Yeah.
You should probably stand up and then sit back down.
Okay. Hit me with it.
Right. Well, I heard, read an email from Dr. Bob, already seeing some high 70s and 80s up north already.
Sure.
Some of the metro stuff. So just, be sure to keep an eye out on your water temps. Let's not going to get preachy about it, but hey, give her a look, you know, give it a look, because it is important to keep an eye on those water temps, especially this time of year. You know, it's
for sure.
Not something you know, go crazy with it, but you've heard it. We've all heard it, but just keep an eye on it. We'll see what happens. Hopefully it cools off. I know you guys have been just getting, excuse me, everybody's getting blasted with heat. It's ridiculously hot here, but anyway.
Yeah, it warmed up a ton here too, but we've had a few cool nights, so that's helping. You know, I think it's just
it'll knock
70s right now, so it's fine.
It'll knock down, you know. Mm-hmm. It's the reverse, guys. Get off the tannic water. If you're in the Northwoods, go to trout. I don't think trout, you know, so bomb around. Other than that, we better hit some quick Q&A here for folks. It's a crazy week for us here. Apologize.
Okay.
My bad. What we got here? Let's look. Alex K. Water temps, but okay, here we are.
Here we go.
As if it all comes together. Alex K. Water temps by me have sadly exceeded 80 degrees in northern Illinois. Too embarrassed to go bass fishing. I took my daughter cat fishing instead. Also embarrassing. I said I could not help but get a kick out of saying blood bait. The way I say buzz bait. Anyway, happy fishing. Well, Alex, that's good on you taking the fam damn way out there and catfishing. Other fish can be fun when there's, you know, when you gotta, whatever. Go. He went slumming a little bit, Jay. He's just letting us know about it. What we got here. Rudy asked a question last week in a field that was a bit broad. I wanted to narrow it up. Our family meets in northern Wisconsin on North and South Twin Lakes every year for a week-long musky fishing excursion that normally ends with me being skunked and maybe one fish in the boat between four people. Problem if it's never my boat. I was debating hiring a guide, not so much to catch fish, but learn what I'm doing wrong and make adjustments. I could, or what I could do to help bring fish to my boat. I'm no expert, but I'm in musky fishing when I was 12 on the Three Lakes chain. I'm not 42, or I'm 42, and I feel like I can't grasp what I feel is missing in musky fishing. Let me give you some pointers here, because you got North and South Twin, right?
Yep.
So there's some key spots on that lake, on both those bodies of water. There's very good fishing. That place, if you think back, Jay, do you remember, in an old, it's another Herbeck thing. Remember Steve Herbeck talking about, and I quote, the reason the Bulldog's so expletive good on North and South Twin is because all the mud puppies and the suckers. Remember that?
No.
Yeah. That was back in the way back machine.
And okay.
Standard size small Bulldogs at sunset seem to do really well. There you've got some stuff. If you know those lakes really well, think about where the power lines are, and there's a big old bar that comes out there, and it narrows down at the power lines. And that's also old Joe Booker stomping water. right? Where Book Daddy, he said it on this podcast numerous times about trolling depth raters on both those legs, right? So when I start putting these things together, I go, okay. So Herbeck has always done traditionally well on rubber, and Booker's done traditionally well trolling on those bodies of water. So when I've fished it, I tend to go a little bit more mid-depth off the break because listening to both of them, you go, okay, both of them have a tendency to be fishing a little bit deeper in the calm. Now, both of these water, that waterway sees pressure, right, for sure. So I would mix it up. Get away from the blades. Get away from the top water. You know, if you're headed up there, you've got your excursion, and we've got four people casting, and we're putting some time in, and we're fishing the right time. That's the other thing you got to think about. Just like Danny was talking about, timing. So you got both Herbeck saying it, I'm saying it, bunch of other people I know saying, Solar Lunar is kicking right now, right? There's something to it. So be watching on your app, watch your majors and your minors. Obviously think of sunrise, sunset. Fish smart. Don't go out there at noon and fish till 3 o'clock and go, oh, we didn't get one. Unless there's a reason, right? Fish the right hours. On that body of water, I'm going to mix it up. Standard bulldog, I would be throwing a black and orange alien eel, to be honest with you, which is about, it's slightly bigger than the standard. When I say, Jay, what's the original bulldog? Is it a standard? So I'm not misspeaking here.
Yeah, standard or regular.
The small bulldog.
Regular, I think is more, yeah.
But if you're looking for a point of reference in that size zone, get look at the alien eel, like $12.
Yeah.
Right? That's a tick bigger than the one I'm thinking about because I don't know all the bulldog sizes right off the top of my head today because I'm brain dead and I've been up for 14 hours already. But nonetheless, something in that size zone, pull, pause, right? Secondly, you can mix it up with a Kraken, right? A lot of your guys are not going to be doing the tube routine and do something different. So if you've got that much time in on the water up there and you're fishing it, let's readdress our presentations. Rethink your timing. Rethink your presentations. What you're throwing and what you're doing is not working. Okay? So let's reinvent the wheel. How are you going to do this differently? At a certain point, we all have to hit the wall and go, well, that didn't work. What's next? What's next? So, you know, you could call. He's asking about guides. You know, got some good people up there. Call the shop. Call the Muskie Shop Guide Service. They can get you lined up on that front. But, you know, as far as this, I think you can crack that lake yourself if you readdress what you're doing. Reinvent the wheel a little bit. It's not about, we were talking about freaking the spoon plug earlier. It's not about having the magic bait. It's about correctly presenting to the right depths and the right structure. So if you've had that kind of run and you guys are having that little action over that amount of time or fishing the net, reinvent the wheel. What are we doing? Let's scrap the game plan we've run for all these years. Start fresh. Go, well, we've been throwing X, Y, and Z for this long and it hasn't done much for us. Is it a speed thing? Is it a depth thing? Readdress. Jay, what else do you think about that north-south twin kind of area?
Yeah, don't rule
world?
Out fishing, you know, after dark for a little bit, too. Try a little night fishing, you know, because right now, being July, yeah. You know, you're peak boat traffic and, you know, water gets churned up pretty easy everywhere. You should have seen Lake Minocqua when I drove over the bridge driving home tonight.
Four rats.
The amount of people, you know, it's like July 7th. You know, yeah. The weekend's over.
They took the
it's
week
Monday.
Off, baby.
It was crazy out there. So mm-hmm. You wouldn't have been able to fish out there effectively. That's the type of right. situation. I'm not saying, you know, North and South Twin get that kind of pressure ever, but they get fishing pressure and they get boating traffic. Al Frost, one of our guides at the at the shop, is very experienced at that.
That'd be the that's week. Who so, I would call the guide service and try to get Frosty.
Call up the guide service and, you know, if nothing else, Frosty can lead you in the right direction. You know. Fishing deeper and correctly, all that jazz.
And I've spent time in the boat with him. He's good people. You know, he knows his stuff. And at least get you dialed in on that. While you're answering that, Jay, I read in your two cents there, I skimmed over another question. Somebody wanted to know, hey, what are the baits right now? Again, don't think about what's the right bait. Think about what is the right proximity, action, and size for this the conditions you're fishing. But worth noting, Jay, what's kind of banging out of the shop right now? What are you seeing, like your Northwoods guys? Like they're, I always like to ask this because it's always a nice little more a tasty nug, Jay, a tasty nug of information of, oh, I noticed a lot of these are going out of the door in person. What is it?
Ton of maps, bucktails.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got them on sale too.
What's
stuff on sale?
We know that's the thing.
A lot
when
of
you say buck
in general,
I'm saying what? Well, what's the baits that people are catching on? Because I know bucktails are going out the door because it's a self fulfilling prophecy. What are you seeing? Are you seeing tubes go out? You're seeing cranks or something that's actually
a lot of swim baits.
Still,
that's been the popular type. Still, yeah.
Okay, because I know Herbie. That let me put it that way. He hooked one of his buddies up with a little Mustang or I haven't talked about that, we have. It's on the website. Dude cracked like four again or whatever the heck on this Mustang thing. So it's like swim bait city. So that's kind of the hot piece right now. But
the Mustang's the new one that's coming out next month. So
Ethan, I'm in Southern Michigan Fisher Muskies. He names the lake. We'll skip it. It's a very hard, dirty lake. Hardly any weeds, just silt and sand. Most of the lake is 8 through 15 feet deep. What would you recommend throwing and at what depth? Okay. So, again, conditions are going to dictate this, but you have dirty water, so that's worth noting here. So, if you've got shallow, dirty water, you could have a lot of different scenarios going on there where what immediately comes to my mind is let's not focus on the dirty water and let's focus on structure. If it's devoid of vegetation, muskies are going to be on structure, right? So you can, if you have a lake map, let's break down that lake structurally, right? Go to the app or go to the articles on the app or listen back to the Structure Fishing Masterclasses 1 and 2 I recommend without us crawling down the rabbit hole entirely here. But break things down structurally. I like when there's no vegetation. A lot of people are like, where's the weeds? Again, it's not about the weeds, right? You know the thing, Jay, what came first, the chicken or the egg? And nobody, it's a great debate. In fishing, guess what? Structure came first, period. There's no, is it the weeds or is it the structure? No, it's the structure.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, cover, such as weeds, vegetation, these are temporary things. That big point, that flat, all these wonderful things that you continually see muskies on that happen to have weeds on them, the muskies use that regardless if the weeds are there or not, right? 99% of the time. Now, it might be a tighter zone, but without crawling down the rabbit hole, the first thing you want to look at when we're lacking vegetation, structure. Now, it's not a very deep body of water, something we've talked about previously. The deepest water, and there went a phantom. I just fell off the wall. The deepest water in the lake is the deepest water that a muskie knows in that body of water. They have no other point of reference. They get one home and one home alone, right? So it's not like they move. Muskies don't move from Minnesota to Minocqua I feel like changing up. Think of it that way. This is all he knows, right? So the biggest bar in a tiny lake is the biggest bar, right? The deepest hole in a tiny lake is the deep hole. So it's all relative. Don't think about other bodies of water. When you're breaking down a body of water or a lake, and this is something we're going to film while I'm up, Jay, we're going to go down the epic rabbit hole on structure fishing this year on the videos, right? And just really drive this thing home. But it's all relative. They know nothing else. Now, ingrained in them is to use these elements, right? What is the dominant this, the dominant that? Where's the big hump in the lake? Well, a big hump in a tiny lake is a tiny hump. Or in a shallow, you see what I'm saying? In a shallow body of water, and if it only gets 15 feet deep or the main basin, you've got to look at it for what it is. You cannot compare Lake of the Woods to a farm pond, right? And look for those elements, but you've got to look at these smaller bodies of water as a singularity and realize that, while that slough might not be impressive on this body of water, it is of paramount importance to the fish that live there because they know nothing else. That's all they know.
Sure.
So that is how we're going to break it down. So we got dirty water, lacking vegetation, typical shallow water fishery here. Do your map study, right? Especially as if it's a shallow body of water, I'm going to be looking for what structural elements are closest to the deepest water anywhere I go. But as a bit of the utmost importance when we're talking about a body of water that is generally shallow, right? 15, 20, 25 feet. Well, even not 25, 15, 20 of max or even 15 max. That's a shallow water fishery. Those fish need a deep water refuge. They're going to go to that deep water refuge, and they're going to use the elements that are provided to them in the highways and byways that are close at hand. So that's going to be my knee jerk there. What we got here, Dave? I've been experiencing some really bad hook fish. Caught with Suix, red October tubes. Often found the hooks in the body adjacent to the gill of the head, or the head. Also had ninja tubes in the back of the throat with an inaccessible hook behind the bait where I couldn't cut it out. Any tips or bait mods to minimize fish damage? Any luck fishing with... Okay, so... Oh, he also continues. He said, when cutting the hooks, the flesh, should I push it through? So, blah, blah, blah. Thanks, loyal listener since day one. We appreciate that. Thank you, Dave. We've gotten emails from you before. I think we fished together. So, I actually had a conversation, Jay, with a pro team member from Livingston today. We're talking about red October tubes versus Kraken, right? And the presentation is different, right? Slightly different. It takes a different effort. It's got a different lope. However, I told this person, I said, if I'm on a legit tube bite, and I get in trouble for doing this. If I'm like, okay, I want that style. I want just the hard jerk, bang, bang, you know, rip your shoulders off. I will take pellet gun ammo or split shot and just jam it up under the insert weight on the Kraken and make it way heavier so it acts like that to avoid what we're talking about here. Right? Because the Kraken takes a little less energy. It's got a different lope, but you can do the straight-up tube thing with it by loading some more weight in that guy. I've actually seen guys that will go in that compartment, drill a tiny hole that allows more water intrusion. That voids your warranty here, I bet, but it can be done. So if I'm dealing with that, because Jay, you and I have been on the boat and seen the exact same thing with tubes. Here it is. They clobber it. It's back. And now we got jaw spreaders out. And 10 minutes later, we're hoping it survives. So if you're on that straight up tube bite, you need that straight, that same action. You can mod your crank. And I say that the reason being is the hookup's going to be cleaner by a long shot, right? Bang, hit it, hooked up kind of like normal. That's something I'm going to consider now. If it comes to a straight red October tube, like most people fish the mids or the ninjas, I try to eliminate that top hook, the single hook that they use, right? And try to just eliminate those. It just is what it is. They headshot Krakens, they headshot tubes, and they're going to just go right down their throat. Like I said, that's why I'm part of the reason I did the Kraken was just that. I felt like I was just killing fish. Like, boom, they annihilate the bait. With it being soft, they gulp. If it's a hard bait, you get the hook set before they crunch down on it because they hit that stuff hard. So, again, if I need that hard... You can get the exact same action out of a Kraken in a tube. Just do a little tinkering, right? That'll save you a lot of fish problems. Now, that's not something you want to do, and we're just straight up red October. Cut that mid hook out, right? Something I'll do as well is go to the BKK hooks that we have at the Musky Shop. They're razor sharp. However, they do not have the biggest barb you've ever seen. And it's a small barb. So you look at like some of the Mustad hooks, Jay, some of the Eagle Claw hooks, they have a pretty substantial barb. The BKKs are I don't know how to articulate it, where it doesn't have a very dominant barb, therefore it's easier to pull out, but I'm never worried about it shaking out a fish because the actual curvature of the hook, right, is not conducive to shaking the hook. So that's kind of the happy place that I've been, is with the BKK hooks, right? Again, what would you say, Jay? They run two sizes big? Wouldn't that be about the number you'd say?
Yeah.
Like
their size chart is a little bit off compared to some of the other.
Euro size, yeah. So yeah. If you get a 5-aught, get a 3-aught BKK, right? Mm-hmm. But those hooks, they're not cheap, but you get a hold of them on the backside with pliers, they pull out way easier. So when you got these funky hooked fish, right, you can usually get to it. I'll tell you, and it's something that I did something I did here that was kind of handy, and it's ugly and it's archaic, is I extended the handles with some PVC on a set of bolt cutters, Jay. On a pair of Nipex, I just jam some to be able to get down deep on deep hooked fish.
Okay. I've never seen that. All right. Okay.
Well, think about it. How often is it like you're holding the fish, you got jaw spreaders in there, and you can't get the thing in, then you're willy-nilling it. You know what I'm saying? You're kind of fooling
with
it.
You got your pinky on the very end of the handle, and it's just like, there's a tooth right there.
And you can't get leverage. I'm sure there's a better way. Yeah. I'm a redneck, so I just redneck something together. A couple pieces of pipe.
Take a picture of it for me.
No. You'll try to play Careless Whisper on it. But nonetheless, you know, kind of redneck something together there. Maybe there's some longer handled Nipex. Maybe we ought to look into that. I don't know if that exists, Jay, but it'd be handy for musky guys if it did. But I've found that that's helpful. Like I said, for me, the reason I did the cracking and then I mod them and, you know, get a drill out and void my warranty or pack them full of this and void my warranty, if you know what I mean, you can get some leverage out of that. That'll save you a little bit of heartache. Now, something that can be said when fish are eating aggressive, and I mean, this winter, Jay, I had a point where it's like, oh, they're swallowing 9-inch grandmas, right? All three treble hooks, bam, 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 bam. We talked about this winter. Well, guess what I did? Cut the middle treble hook off. Oh, they're still swallowing the entire grandma, right? Maybe we upsize. You know how people are always like, there's a million reasons to downsize, Jay? Like, oh, the wind shifted 1 degree and everybody's trying to go rat. If you got fish that are hogging 9-inch suics, they're hogging 10-inch tubes, maybe you go up to that big sexy 12. And that's what it's called, right? Big sexy.
It is.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, we got tons of puns. It's just the musky business. It's punny.
Musky business.
Punny. He's a punny guy. But you got the 12-inch big sexy. You could do that. You could go up to, you know, whatever size suic you're fishing. You can go up to a 12-inch suic, whatever. Go big. Go bigger. That will alleviate that and see if you're still getting the same amount of eats. And, you know, I would like to tangle with the muskie that just envelops a 12-inch tube and just that's gone, right? That'd be fun. But that's what I do. Try upsizing. That's a key reason. But be prepared. I'm sure you are, Dave. Be prepared for any scenario. And like I said, the extending the handles, the redneck way of an extended little handle to get some more leverage down the throat. Well, it never ends. Mike, so I have a question about boat placement when fishing, say a reef. Do you cast from the deeper water into the reef or vice versa? Okay, so hopefully it's a submerged reef, Jay. It's tough if you park on top of the reef. My brain didn't work, and I was like, what's he talking? Oh, duck.
Redneck shore fishing, baby.
Exactly. Been there. So, well, and also, too, in Canada, sometimes you get on the top of the reef by accident, but that's a whole other.
Right, right.
Here's the deal. There are times to do both, right? Actually, I talk about in the book kind of your placement. Oh, no, not, never mind. I'm brain dead today. That's in the next one, I think. I don't think it's in. I was like, literally, I'm like, we're still editing because we're so busy. Okay, that's, I think it's forthcoming. I don't recall. It's in one of them, but there is a time and a place to do that. Now, I have done exceptionally well with a combination of new electronics and fishing from the top of the reef in the middle of the day. Right? So let's pretend we've got, and if you guys have never fished a reef, think of your humps the same way, right? So we got a dominant hump or a bar even, right? Anything that creates a vertical structure, right? The surface is raised to apex, and then the area around it's flattened out. That's all we need to think about. A bump in the road, if you will. That's a reef. That's a hump. That's everything. So as fish make those daily movements we talk about structurally from deep water to shallow to feed, right? It doesn't have to be they make a movement from deep water in the basin to a shoreline to feed. Reefs are a structure. Jay, it's meta. It's a wheel within a wheel, you old-timey stoner, right? It is, mm-hmm. It is a structure unto itself, right? So we have open water around us, which gives big fish, and this is why kind of my treatise, my thoughts on why you pull so many Donkey Kongs off of reefs in Canada. And if the other Herbeck was gonna call me, I could, you know, or Danny could even attest to it. You just go, hey, where do you see your biggest fish? Reefs. A lot of times, right? Well, we talk about big fish want access to the stability of deep water. It's not that they want depth. They want stability, and deep water provides that. But they also want to feed shallow. Well, why do we want to feed shallow? Because they can use their physicality in a short burst to take anything down if they truncate the space available, right? They don't want to, and they will, but in most cases, a muskie wants to stage shallow, so two tail thwacks, they nail a walleye, they move on with their day, right? So a reef is an in-and-out motion just like shoreline structure. So the fish might be adjacent in the basin just around that reef in the middle of the day, slightly further out than you want them to be. Now, what will happen if you say spot lock on top of a Canadian reef, or you got some depth, it could be any reef. We spot lock on top of a reef. We used to anchor and do this, but now, you know, now with technology, we can spot lock. If you don't have spot lock, get an anchor, right? So what I will do in that situation is usually start with a Rachel or a Triple D or a Bulldog and bomb it out, Jay. I'm talking bomb it. As far as you, Minnesotans would be impressed how far you got to bomb it out there, right? Get that sucker out there and work it back. And what you're dealing with a lot of times, there'll be little bit of this. There'll be anomalous rocks. You know, you got to think about these reefs. This is a piece of bedrock or glacial rock or whatever the heck's gotten out there. And there's riprap around it. You know, it's not like this perfect little boop. It's not like bubble wrap out there, right? You got your dominant rock and you got little chunk stuff around it, whatever. And I will work that. I'll try to get past all the chunky stuff into just the edge of the basin, because again, this is why I think of structure inside a structure inside a structure inside a structure, blah blah blah, is with a reef you have a transition zone at the base, the contact point of where that reef terminates and becomes basin. Now it can become bedrock if there's no the sediment there, right? But there's a point where the reef cease to exist, and if one was standing right there, you go, well, my left foot's on the reef and my right foot's on what I would call the basin. There has to be an end point, right? Muskies usually gravitate to where that end point is because it's the first point of change. So just like in the main basin, if we're trolling, we're looking at what's the first contact point, where does structure become basin, right? Where it's indistinguishable. A reef is that into itself. Now, something to consider with this is we're going to bomb that big cast. We're going to work out looking for fish that are in a radius around this reef. Okay? So breaking it down, conditionally, let's say we're on the worst to worst conditions and we're on top of a reef and we could 360 around this thing, all the way around the reef. My bet it's going to be at the fish in really bad conditions during the middle of the day. It's going to be at the contact point on whatever the deepest edge of that reef is, right? Because there are the reefs where, you know, adjacent to it, there's a deeper section of the basin that comes in and all this stuff. So you're going to have varying depth quite often around a reef. And as conditions are better, my fixation will be higher on the shallow elements from the outside, right? So we're a dartboard, boys, right? You're sitting at bullseye on the high spot on a reef in the middle of the day, and now we're looking at, and I just popped in my head, you know, a dartboard, they got all these different numbers all the way around it, right? This could be depths. So conceptualize a reef and go, what is the depth breakdown and the radius around this bullseye that I'm on top of? Is there a 6-foot zone? Is there a 10-foot zone? Does it just drop off to 25 off one side? What is the composition of depth in a radius around that reef? Now, where your fixation comes from is, what are the conditions telling you? Is it high, bright sun, dead, flat, calm, and there's no bait fish suspended in the water calm? We're going to go to the deepest edge. Do we have mid-level bait? Oh, let's focus on the mid-level section, right? And now you can hit it all. But what I'm telling you right now is, you go, oh, middle of the day stuff would be, well, what makes sense conditionally? Let's fixate on that. Now, the other breakdown, like I said, is making these bomb casts out or looking for these fish that are kind of schlubbed off in the mud right where that transition happens or even adjacent to that. And I have caught muskies on Eagle and in Canada and other locations where they got mud in their freaking gills. In the middle of the summer, in 30 feet of water. Thrown off the top of the reef, going, well, there's nothing happening. Everybody's eating sandwiches and kicking rocks. You know what I'm saying? They're back in the cabins taking a nap, praying that the major will deliver. Nope. They're out there in the mud. Me and Danny did it last year.
That was the ticket last year over there, yep, for sure.
And a lot of it is that approach to reefs, which we never really talk about. I mean, we do, but I like reef fishing. Grew up doing it, where I will start breaking each individual reef down, right? And not just, oh, there's a waypoint on the reef. Think about the composition of the reef. Think about the depth changes. Now, again, there's so many irregularities with the reef. And again, when I say it's a structure upon structure, you can have points, if you will, off of a reef. So let's say we got this big old rock, and then it's got a big tendril that sticks out. And Herbeck, old Herbeck, not son of Herbeck, sire Herbeck. Mm-hmm. And there's a reef that's kind of legendary on Eagle, and no, it's not Coleman's Reef, but another one that he and I both love. And the key to catching muskies off that, and you can go there in the middle of the day and do it, is knowing exactly where that rock ends and the soil begins. Right? Where's that terminating point? Where's that end point where 1 foot's on the reef? If they drain the lake, you go 1 foot's on the reef and 1 foot's on the basin. You got to break that stuff down. When I swing about the point, that can be like a long rock bar. And if you look, oh, there's a bar. And think about that as a singularity. Because this reef has a bar. Oh, there's a hole. There's a divot, right? Okay, there's chunk rock here. And think about that composition and how that interplays. And then, on the other hand, think about how the wind is impacting that and current conditions are impacting that. And if you dedicate time to reef fishing, I there's not a hump. There's not a lake with a... If there's muskies in it and there's a hump or a reef, they tend to use them. I can't think of a time, Jay, where I have fished a body of water that had a noticeable hump in it or had a reef complex that did not hold muskies at some point in time, right? To me, the permanence of a reef, right, here it is. If we were going to talk structure, that's my favorite structure, because it's you know, rocks are permanent but shoreline rocks are craggy. I think of shoreline rocks quite often as smally country. A lot of people do, right? Muskies use that. But when you think about a big reef complex, you go, oh my goodness, some of these places have everything they want, right? Where they can feed up and down in the water column all day long, regardless of conditions. You go, why do a lot of people catch giants off reefs? Biggest muskie I've ever seen in the boat, weighed and measured, is rockfish. I'm honest to goodness, I think if I did a top 10, I'd say 8 of them are off of reefs, right? And those fish, they go, oh, it's a high-rise apartment with everything they want. Well, we got a gym, we got a restaurant, we got all the activities right here. I don't need to do anything.
Food sources for everything.
Right, and immediate access to deep water. Right, yeah. So here's home, and here's up and down all day long. And forget about it. You know, that is what I'm going to focus on. I mean, if you said I have to catch a fish, if you throw me on a lake and you go, okay, it has a bar, it's got a reef, it's got a weed bed, you know, a point. If I had to catch one, I'm going to go to the point. Like if it's a gun to the head, you got to catch one by the end of the day. Okay, I'll take a point that goes from the shoreline to the main basin to catch one, a fish, mm-hmm. right? I'd take that every week. Big point from shoreline to main basin. I'll get one. Might not be pretty. It might not be legal, right? It might be 27 inches, but I'll pull one out. But if you said you got to catch a big fish, give me a reef every time. Because you don't see a lot of dinks on them. You see big bait. You see big fish. Again, tactically, the guy's question, I sort of went down a massive rabbit hole here, but so if it's the middle of the day or off conditions, fish from the top out, right? If it's good stuff, fish the proximity in. Now, something I always do on big water, because when we think reefs, a lot of times we're thinking big water. We're thinking shield lakes, glacial stuff. Don't just pull up to the reef again, because we've done a research and we've thought about these things. We've conceptualized everything. We've put the picture together what it looks like under there. Your job is now not to pull into this thing and go, well, this is how we fish it. The best thing you can do with a reef is get on the side that the wind's hitting it and let you get blown into it. Right? So upwind and let the wind drift you in. Right. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll get two casts off and work my way in. You'll pick up fish that are lingering. Maybe they're not up to the top of the reef yet. And I'm talking in good conditions. Maybe they've not committed to going all the way in yet, or they're waiting for the walleyes to move in, or they're waiting for Cisco's to blow by, or whatever it is. They might be two casts off that reef when you show up. Don't leave them behind you. So set up. Drift sideways, and if you have a partner, fan cast, bang, 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 cover that water as you drift in. Do not be in a hurry. Everybody wants to land their cast on the top of the reef every time. Boom, I'm on top, because the muskie's sitting there rolling on its back in 4 inches of water, right? No. At times that's important, but let's be fishing off that and drifting in. Let the wind kind of lead you into that guy, right? That is how you're going to catch some of your biggest fish ever if you do that. So drift in on the windblown side, hit that, and then my next things that I'm really going to look for is any shielding elements from that. So if we don't get something, or we don't move a muskie getting blown into it, if you know the composition of the reef or the layout of the reef, go, okay, is there, you know, rocks, and there's a drop down on the backside, anything that kind of presents... You know how in river fishing, Jay, we're looking for anything that minimizes, mitigates current, right? Mm-hmm. On the backside of a reef, or on the non-wind side, right, you're going to have not a pocket. I don't want to say it a pocket pool or eddy, but it's going to be a little calmer on the backside of these rocks where they can just pop out from behind them. Make sure we're hitting that stuff. And I've pulled a lot of fish on the backside of windblown boulders. And it depends on activity level. Or bait staging too, but you know, I've picked up some giants drifting into that thing and a lot of guys go, well, there's nothing here, and they just start circling the reef, I'm going to go, okay, what's the next thing? What's the next kind of element I can get on the backside of, or present to the backside of, that is windblown, right? Instead of reef face or stuff coming into it. And a lot of times you'll just have Donkey Kong sitting on the backside of those, just waiting for something dumb enough to go over its head. But anyway, God, grief, Jay.
Yeah, cool. Good pointers.
Yeah, reefer madness right here, right here on the podcast. Can we go 1 week? It is spooky now. Is it 3 weeks or 2 weeks with a Herbeck call?
It's just a continuous thing.
If you weren't the frickin' host with me, you would be. I talk to the same like four people every day. You know, They keep calling. But guys, anyway, we got to wrap it up here. We got big things in store. Jay, July 19th, I'm inviting you to the Muskie Shop Bash, Jay.
Yeah, I'll be there, Steve. I hope everyone else will too. It's going to be great.
Jay's coming out. Folks, come out, enjoy a wiener with Jay. All right, guys. I'm going to bed, Jason.
Thanks, guys. Night. Later. Thank you.